Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad to have you back here in the month of November already. Today, of course, it is listener questions. We get questions about what the new character sightings are looking like down at Walt Disney World. That's right. No more meet and greets. We have character sightings and what that means for your next Disney trip. We also talk about the return of the Disney Dining Plan and Tables in Wonderland. Will that happen here in the remainder of 2021? What are our thoughts on that? Also, many questions about where are the hotel rooms at Walt Disney World for the rest of the year? This and much more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget, today's podcast brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation to any of the Disney destinations. They are a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best travel agencies out there. Just drop by their website, themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. Mention the show. That quote form will come right to me, and we'll be planning that trip together. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online this holiday season. That one extra click really does mean a lot to us. It takes you right back to the regular Amazon site after you click through, and it gives us a little support. Again, bookmark it and use it as often as you can. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you sincerely to our patrons. You support the show at the highest level possible, and I cannot thank you so much for that. Also, our patrons get a bonus show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1991 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope this week is going well for you and for all the Run Disney runners. Yes, it's that week. It is race week. We've been waiting forever for this week to get back. We've been waiting here about 18 months now, and it's almost time to get on those planes, get in the car, and as we joke here, pack the short shorts and the sneakers and all the goos and the gels and all those things. The people that don't run are like, what are you talking about? The compression sleeves, all that stuff, throw it in the bag, and then when you get there, you're going to be like, I totally forgot 17 things that I should have brought with me. But it's okay. That's why they have an expo. But today we're going to be here to answer your listener questions, and they aren't going to be about running today. Maybe they'll be about running, but probably not. We're going to talk a little about running and Run Disney weekends for the non-runners on Friday. But today is all listener questions, and joining me today, my buddy, who we've run a dopey challenge together. And man, was that a challenge, and was that an adventure that day. And he is one proud Sparty up in the mitten. We have Scotty G. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Mike. Happy to be here. Just got to throw out a big old go green for the Michigan State Spartans. I know it's Wednesday, but I'm still on a high from last Saturday. It was the most epic weekend in East Lansing I've ever experienced. Just thousands and thousands of people Halloween weekend going on. It was just insane, and the Spartans pulled through. So, but yeah, I'm happy to talk Disney. I'm not going to talk about football all day. Let's talk about Run Disney and anything Disney today.
So real quick though, I do want to ask you that because if you are a sports fan, College Game Day, which is the ESPN college show that travels around the country, goes to the biggest game every Saturday, and do the prediction show and stuff like that, preview the weekend. They're in East Lansing where Scott lives. He lives near campus. I got to get there because I got to check this out. Because you said you're just going to go for. You told me I was like because you're stressed about the game, like I get.
Yeah,
I was stressed, and we're playing Vanderbilt. That talks about how bad our season is at Mizzou. But you're like, I'm just going to go on a run and listen to the stadium. That's how I'll know how the game's going. I'll just listen to the crowd. And, I mean, how would you compare the environment? Is it like a New Year's Eve, like Epcot environment? Or how was Lansing, especially after the win that night?
It felt even insane. So I actually told Elizabeth, so the Detroit hosted the Super Bowl, in the early 2000s. And I didn't go then, but, I could only imagine what a Super Bowl would feel like. I mean, it was just hundreds of thousands of people. So you're right. So I went for a run and I could listen to the game on my run. So that's how close to the stadium. And I ran through campus and it was just so awesome. Like the stadium is jam-packed, 80,000 people in the stadium, but there's still like another 100,000 tailgating. Sweet. And like, you can hear every roar from the crowd. You can hear like every penalty being described, you know, like it was just like being in the stadium, just not being able to like see it. But it was awesome when I was running, cause I was listening to the game too, like in one earbud and then listening to the crowd noise. But like, I'm watching the game as I'm running, cause like every like tailgate has like a generator and a TV out and they're just watching the game. So like, I actually watched the whole game basically on my run. It was one of the coolest experiences for not actually being in the stands that I could ask for. It was so awesome.
Very cool. All right, we'll find out how Sparty is ranked with the college football standings this week. So we'll see how that goes. All right, so also joining us, speaking of another college football hotbed, she's down in the state of Georgia, who my Mizzou Tigers will take on this Saturday. Look out! We might pull the upset. Probably not. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky? I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think you're going to get the upset. Just throwing that out there.
Just saying, if it happens, I'm going and cutting down a piece of the hedges myself because it'll be
all
epic.
Right. All right, that's fine, yeah. So football. Go sports.
Sorry, I can't help it. I love football.
Yeah, no, things are good here. It's been a crazy sports week. Let's just put it that way here in Atlanta. So that's all I'll say about that. It's been a crazy sports week. So, yeah.
When I went to bed last night, because we record on Mondays, I thought we'd be talking about a Braves World Championship by the time we recorded tonight.
Look, when you live in Atlanta, you know full well that you better not expect anything good to happen to your sports teams. So you just kind of like hope and pray, and you know you've got three games to one, and you're like, they're gonna lose this. It's totally gonna go to the seven, and they're gonna lose. So I mean, we're still fully expecting them to lose. So
I'm expecting the Braves. They gotta win one out of three.
This would be an epic choke at this point.
But it's Atlanta. We're full of epic chokes. I'm just saying, Super Bowl.
I get it. I'm scarred.
Losing. It's just, I'm just saying, we are so used to disappointment in this city that we're just like, if we finally pull it out, we won't believe that it'll happen until we get to that ninth inning and, you know, we're up. Like, that's pretty much the only way that's going to happen. And it's got to be, like, the last, like, strike. Like, you know, like, we're still not going to believe it.
I just got to say, this is probably on no one's BOGP bingo card there. Ricky is talking about sports.
That's right. I know.
Like, how great is that?
Coverall. That's exactly it. Poster stamp. Whatever. Okay.
That was definitely not a thing on our BOGP bingo board that we had created. So, next bingo board.
Yes. We got to get to the first question of the day because it is from Mary. And she says, help, time-sensitive question for the podcast. Hey, guys. Mm-hmm. We're headed down on November 5th. So a bit of a time-sensitive question for us. Let's say my parents are a little or very technology illiterate, and we were going to purchase Genie Plus for the Magic Kingdom day of our vacation. Will having them be a part of our friends and family give me access to purchase it for them and book their rides with us? We'll be staying at two different resorts, so getting together before 7 a.m. won't be an option. Thanks for all you do. Maybe we'll see you down there. Mary's in Buffalo, New York. She says, go Bills. There you go. Speaking of football, they're having a good season. All right. So, Ricky, what do you know? I mean, with friends and family, does that allow? Because how's that going to work? Because if you don't have the phone, that's going to be kind of a little bit. But would that work? I haven't thought about that.
Yeah, I believe if you're connected with friends and family, you can choose who's in your party as far as who you're making Genie Plus reservations for. Again, I haven't played with it yet because I haven't been down there since they introduced Genie Plus. But I would imagine that, you know, as long as they have purchased, you know, Genie Plus or somehow you've purchased it for them, then you should be just fine.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because what if you have like a 5-year-old who doesn't have so I feel like as long as everyone is linked together, you'd be good. And I'm heading down November 5th as well. So maybe we'll cross paths. That'd be awesome.
That's right.
That's exciting. And Jennifer's chiming in that you can purchase for your party or plan together and purchase separate. So.
That's what I thought, but I'm always nervous to say yes. I know when we haven't experienced it fully ourselves.
I know, based off of following other people's what we've seen other people do, it is hard to say, I think that you can, when you haven't actually done it yourself. So, and I still won't be doing it. I won't be doing it for a while, but hopefully I'll be doing it sooner rather than later.
All right. Well, I bet you've written about this one. Becca in our live chat, who I believe is down in Australia right now, is asking, can you guys talk a little bit about the new character experiences, which if you've been following the news, They've actually been renamed. They're no longer called character meet and greets. They're called character sightings.
Right. Because you're not actually meeting and greeting.
Right. You're sighting the characters, which I like that because it kind of, you're in the room. You're seeing the characters. You're not meeting and greeting, which, I mean, it's splitting hairs, but I mean, it's more accurate, I guess. So what, Ricky, I mean, have you written anything about that or what would you expect?
No, but definitely what I'm seeing is that it's kind of, if you've seen kind of the character experiences they have that have been outside, it's very similar to what those are. So like I've met Anna and Elsa in Norway. They meet outside. They are sectioned off from the guests, so you can't get close to them, but you can still stand. You can take selfies, you can ask, have conversations with the characters, things like that. So you're still going to be able to do those kinds of things in the indoor character sightings, like with Mickey Mouse and the princesses, the Princess Fairy Tale Hall. So you're still going to have the opportunity to do those kinds of things. It's just you're not going to be able to go up and hug them, and get autographs and things like that. So you're still going to be able to see them and talk to them. And get that selfie or the picture the best you can. There are no PhotoPass photographers there right now, so just keep that in mind as well. But I mean, at least we have this opportunity because we didn't have it before, and so many, at least indoors anyway. And I know so many people. That's one of those things where I was like, okay, when is Disney going to introduce character meet and greets again? And well, I mean, in this case, character sightings. Disney was going to be back when character meet and greet sightings are back. So hopefully those people that were sad about this not being a thing are now happy because at least they can see the characters. I know it's a bummer that you can't go and hug, Mickey, but at least you can see him and have a conversation with him. So that's kind of cool.
So is there like a physical barrier between yourself and Mickey? Is he standing behind like a little like half fence or something?
Yeah, I think they just have those, that elastic, partition, they string across. Yeah. I think, they just have those up from what
I've
seen.
They have it to run Disney gates. Or no, it's the cones. It's Bob's
Barricades.
Bob's Barricades, yeah. 1-800-BOBS-BARRICADES. Yeah, that's exactly it. Not the red rope. Nice. Yes. Okay. Lisa's got a question and a good comment here. She says, it's been months since any mention of the Disney dining plan. Do you think we'll get it back before January of 2022? Did we not hear that the Disney dining plan would return by the end of 2021? I thought that at some point, like in the summer, I thought they said it'd be back by the end of the year. And that dog is excited about some Disney dining plan.
That dog is ready to eat.
I don't know. Yeah, the dog wants to eat something. It sounds like something may be eating that dog. I don't know, Scott. I mean, do you think? Here's the thing. I've always said, because my guests were asking about this question at the Magic for Less quite often, over the past year. And I said, I think we'll get the Disney dining plan back when all of the restaurants are back open and there's no seating restrictions. Because the whole thing is you can't have a Disney dining plan unless you have enough capacity for folks to be able to use up all the credits, right? Because then it would be almost like fraud. If you're selling these credits and people have a hard time redeeming these credits they've already paid for, it's not really fair. It's not a good system. However, I mean, because there's no big difference in people have to sit down and eat. It doesn't matter whether you're paying out of cash or paying with dining credits Disney's way. I think it's a capacity issue. And right now it could be a labor shortage, but I would think Disney wants to do this because they want to get your money on the dining up front.
But,
I would think,
but I don't know, man, because as someone that likes to book dining, I can't ever book it. So one thing I always think is like, they want the dining plan to encourage booking in these restaurants, but like, without the dining plan, I still can't get like some of my favorite restaurants or any restaurants for that matter.
And I do wonder if it's a shortage, a staffing shortage. It could be a staffing shortage, which very well could be the case. Yeah.
But I look at it like with the hotel discounts, the resort discounts that we haven't seen in forever. They don't need to put a resort discount on because they're all booked. They don't need to do a dining plan because everyone's eating at the restaurants. Like
Scott, that's probably one of the smartest things I've heard you say in the sense of like thinking about that. Like I hadn't thought about it, but you're right. Like there's no need to have a dining plan if dining is already filled. So you're right. The dining plan, the whole point of it is to get restaurants filled and seated. So
but it could be a bunch of other variables why those restaurants are always full. It could be staffing shortages and other variables, but that's just what my thought is on it. Like, if if all the restaurants are constantly full, they probably don't need the dining plan.
I might have other things with it too. So 100% agree with you on that.
But here's the thing. Here's why I think Disney would want the dining plan to be back. And this is just kind of thinking about it from a financial point of view. I would bet probably more than 50% of guests leave their vacation with some kind of credit unused, yes. Whether it's a snack credit, a counter service meal, or even a table service meal. Think if you leave with a table service credit, like for each person in your party, and you just didn't schedule enough ADRs, or you got down there and you thought it was easy to get in. I mean, think of that. I mean, that is just free money. I mean, that you're paying for a meal that you didn't even have to deliver on. I would think that's why Disney, I mean, because everybody listening to this show, like, we're probably getting a great value out of the Disney dining plan. Like, if you're going to buy it, you're probably using it to your advantage, or at least you're breaking even. But, I mean, the casual guest who buys it as part of an all-inclusive package, I mean, if I was going to some destination that I didn't know much about, you know, I could probably walk out of that vacation and maybe not use every single credit that was coming to me. And Disney might like that.
I've seen people, you know, at like Pop Century leaving and they're like, yeah, I have extra credits.
Oh, I did that one night. Yeah. Well, I remember when we used to drive, man. I remember we got like Intamin donut boxes for the ride home. We had all kinds of snacks because we had so many snack credits left. Because remember back in the day, you got like a dessert with every like service and table service meal. So we never got like snacks because you would, you know, and you got an appetizer back then too. So like we had an appetizer, you had a dessert, like we were never hungry enough to have a snack. So then we ended up with all these snack credits and we buy, you know, like, because you would get like a whole box of like 8 donuts at Pop Century for like 1 snack credit. It was ridiculous. And full bags of chips. So we,
you know, all had those, that one thing that we wanted to come back, you know, like Run Disney was on my list. Oh man, I can't wait till that comes back. Dining plan is one that we haven't seen. One on my list that I probably doubt we'll ever see again is the Tables in Wonderland card. I want that back so bad. But like, to my point earlier, like they don't need to have it back.
They don't need it.
They don't need to discount the food right now.
Agreed. So. I mean, you're 100% right with that too. Yeah, I don't know if we'll see Tables in Wonderland come back. And if we do, I mean, I don't know that it'll be like in the
$600
same. $600. Yeah, it'll be very expensive and it won't be in the same format, I am certain. So,
sure. Yeah, I can see
that. Also, sorry about Daisy. The cat scared her, so
that's right.
She freaked out.
It's the day after Halloween as we record. It's the Day of the Dead. Maybe, you know, it's kind of the thing. El Dia de Muerto. Okay, so that is the thing, though. I would say Disney Dining Plan will come back sooner rather than later. I would say Tables in Wonderland, for the reason Scott said, thing's a goner. I mean, for now, because that doesn't bring much to the table. That was just a thing. I think it was used to kind of fill up the tables, especially with locals and annual pass holders, just to encourage them to get into those restaurants, you know, but they, like Scott said, you're just begging for a table at this point. Like, please.
I'll go out at 60 days now to book reservations and I can't get anything. It's crazy. Like how full these tables are getting, these reservations.
That's right. And Lisa in the live chat, she says Disney Dining Plan works very well for our family. It's paid and no credits go unused. Yep. And that's the ideal way to use the Disney Dining Plan, right? Because the thing is, you get down there. When I'm on vacation, I'm one of those people that it's my personality. This is why I love cruising. I love getting on the ship and not worrying about any like paying for to see the movie on the ship, or, you know, when I'm going on shore, like at Castaway Key, what I'm going to eat for lunch. Like, I just go and eat it. Like, I don't have to pay for anything. You know, my meals on the ship are all paid for. I love all inclusive. And so the Disney Dining Plan makes my vacation more all inclusive. I don't have to look at the prices and stuff. I just order what looks good. And that's the advantage of it. You know, you don't have to think about it. Because the thing is, like, I do this. Like, now that there's no Disney Dining Plan, Scott knows. Like, when we go out to eat, you know, like, I will not usually order, like, the more expensive stuff. And it's not that, because it doesn't matter to me too much. Like, I'm not a big foodie. But I will order the cheaper chicken, like, from Father of the Bride or something. It's just how I am. Like, you know, but if I'm on the Disney Dining Plan, man, I'll live it up. Like, I'll get it, you know, because it's like, hey, or pay for it. So, I don't know. I enjoy it. So, but she's right. I mean, you don't want to let the credits go unused, so.
Can I ask you a would you rather
now? Yeah, totally. Let's go for it.
So on Friday, November 5th, would you rather be watching a high school football team play in the playoffs or having Olivia's chicken with your buddy?
God, you're killing me, dude. What about having you come to the football game with some buttermilk chicken?
I'll fly to Missouri.
We'll sit on the 50. We'll sit on the 50. Chicken. I'll get it worked out. We'll sit on the 50 at the H. And
there we go.
A good game. Oh my God, it's gonna kill me. I know. I wasn't expecting we'd have home field advantage through the playoffs, but we do. So, It's a tough one. I sat through the cold rain last Friday and 49-0, so we'll see. All right, next, let's see here. We got another one from Jody. Thanks so much for creating my favorite podcast. Thank you, Jody. Let's see. How have wait times changed in the standby lines now that Genie Plus and individual Lightning Lane is up and running? Mm-hmm. Ricky, what are you guys? Have you guys been watching? I haven't been like paying close attention.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now, and honestly, it's not. You know, it's nowhere near what it was, how bad it was with FastPass Plus, which is what I was saying this whole time. I knew it would not shoot the times up like FastPass Plus did. You know, the wait times are pretty, in my opinion, they're pretty good, all things considered. I mean, you've got 50 minutes for Big Thunder, for Splash, 30 for Big Thunder, you know, 40 right now for Haunted Mansion, 50 for Peter Pan. I mean, before with FastPass Plus, you'd never see 50 for Peter Pan. I mean, it would always be 70 plus. 80 for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is up. I mean, that's average for that. You know, it was pretty much always 80 for that. You've got 40 for Space. And, you know, Space is obviously one of the, you know, the individual Lightning Lane attractions. Moving over to Epcot right now, I mean, you got 55 for Frozen, 55 for Test Track, and those are the two longest that you've got at Epcot right now. Moving over to Hollywood Studios, of course, you've got 70 for Tower, but you know, that fluctuates. You got 60 for Slinky Dog, you've got 75 for Rise, which again, Rise,
that's ridiculous. That's crazy, because I never thought we'd see a line that short for Rise.
You know what? that's what happens when you don't have FastPass Plus.
I'm curious though what it's going to look like this weekend.
It will be very interesting to see what it looks like this weekend.
Because Wine and Dine Race weekend has always been a nutty weekend. I mean,
true.
In the past.
You have a very good point. And I do know, like, obviously it's a Monday evening, but, you know, still, I mean, you've got a 75-minute wait for Flight of Passage, a 55-minute wait for Navi. So, I mean, there are some waits. But, you know, honestly, it's not the, you know, and all of the smaller attractions, their waits are all 5-10 minutes, which is what they should be. That's what those waits should have been the whole time. So I'm not seeing them go way high with you know, Genie Plus, individual Lightning Lane access. You know, it's staying about the average as to what it was before when they weren't offering any kind of FastPass Plus or any kind of Disney Genie Plus or whatever. So, you know, the waits are pretty regulated right in that time frame of where they should be. And I know, you know, people are saying, oh, but you do have to wait in line. Yes, but the lines are moving, which has always been my problem with waiting in line. When you waited in line beforehand with FastPass Plus, you were stop, start, stop, start. And you stop for a long time. With this, you really are constantly moving. It's very rare when you're stopped for a long period of time. And that can, in my head, that messes with me. So not having the stop for a long time, I'm fine with waiting a little bit longer if I can just keep moving. So
I will say, you know, just like almost everything else in the Disney like universe is that, you know, we had a lot of doom and gloom with this system coming online, and, you know, there was a lot of hesitancy. And
I think I was the only person who was happy about it, to be honest. So,
well, no, there were other people. I mean, but the thing is, like, it just, you know, it kind of came in and you know, it's been going for 2 weeks. I mean, it hasn't been going very long, a couple weeks now at this point, but there hasn't been a huge, like, shriek. You know, there hasn't been people saying, oh my gosh, it's like clogged everything up, you know, like,
exactly
everything. So, I think that's the best news. It kind of came in. We're kind of adapting to it. People are adding it to packages if they want to use it. Some people are saying, I'll just buy it a la carte on the days I think I may use it and just leave it off other days. I think that's the beauty of it. You know, we're not experts at this yet. We're all kind of learning. Like Scott and I will be down this weekend. We'll see how it works for us. We'll come back with some firsthand knowledge. But, you know, I think that is the good news, is that everybody's kind of just figuring out their own strategy. I mean, you're right, Scott. I mean, it's one of those things. Everybody's just got to kind of figure out what works best for them. It's not going to be what works best for everybody.
Correct. Yep. That's why I really haven't even been paying that much attention to the wait times. I just kind of want to get down there and experience myself. Mike, we're going to be great guinea pigs for this, because we kind of talked about it. I think Wine and Dine is one of the craziest.
Agreed. Yeah. This will be a good test this weekend of the system, for sure.
So And I bet there'll be a lot of people purchasing it. Yes. Because you're going to have like these diehard Run Disney fans that are diehard Disney fans.
Who haven't been there in a long time because there have been no Run Disney races.
Yeah. Or it's just like, you're just going to have so many diehards. So they're all going to want to experience the new Genie Plus and Lightning Lane. Yeah. So I think it's going to get overloaded this weekend and we'll really find out what's going
to
happen.
That's a great point, because anybody that's willing to sign up for a Run Disney race is going to drop like $150 to run a race or $200 or whatever it is. They're not going to blink an eye at paying $15 for Genie Plus for the day. That's like a goo. That's like one of the gels that you're eating, a couple gels during the race. Everybody that's running the races, and because of the races, well, we'll talk about this a little bit more on Friday, but the runners tend to not stay till park close. So the runners will maybe get to the park a little bit after park opening, but they're bouncing out around supper time. So this the Genie Plus is actually a really good buy for the runners, because you have a condensed park day because you want to be off your feet back to the hotel in the early evening. You can get a lot of rides in and then, you know, get out. And I think you're right, Scott, this will be a good, and, you know, and Jennifer mentioned this, the reason this weekend is always crazy is that there's a lot of stuff that happens this weekend. You got the race weekend, you got Jersey week. I believe it's Jersey week again. You have Veterans Day weekend, which is this weekend. Shout out to all the veterans. Thanks for your service. And also, so many school districts have fall breaks. And I know it's been all screwed up since COVID, like people have breaks everywhere. They just made a break for my wife's district. They decided to have a break over Thanksgiving for the whole week. They decided it 2 days ago. So, I mean, districts are just doing all kinds of stuff. So, again, and I'll tell you what, I mean, there is like not a hotel room to be found for many days. So I'm just, it could be insanity down there this weekend. So I think, you know, this is going to be, Disney's got to be looking at this coming weekend as like the first stressor on Genie Plus to see how the system will really work, especially like going into Christmas. Right. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, let's see. Speaking of Christmas, Nikki has a question here in the live chat. We'll be at Walt Disney World from January 2nd to the 7th. Will there be any Christmas decorations still up? Wilderness Lodge tree, Grand Floridian gingerbread house. See, yes, you will have those up. I'm sure they will be up still. Because they're usually up for marathon weekend, and that's the second weekend.
I just don't know about the gingerbread house at Grand Floridian, but definitely.
I will be able to tell you. Give me 1 second, because I know that Disney actually released the full dates of the gingerbread house this year. So
they're building it as we're podcasting right now, by the way.
What'd you say?
They're building it as we're podcasting
right now. They are, which is really cool. Watching it actually be built is probably one of the neatest things. But, okay.
Ricky is looking that up, I will say about the resort trees, like, I've seen some of the resort trees come down during marathon weekend, which is when those dates are. So, like, you will see some resort trees. And I'd recommend, like, camping out and watching it. Like, I'll never forget, like, I went, like, live on Instagram or Facebook or whatever back in the day watching the pop tree get dismantled. And it was so awesome, like, to watch. And it's just a cool process to see. So, I'd recommend, like, Wilderness Lodge would be awesome to watch and put that one down.
All right, I have some bad news.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
Seriously, the second?
Yeah, so the gingerbread house at the Grand Floridian is lasting from November 10th to January 1st.
Whoa.
So.
That's why I said, I felt that sounded right. I didn't think it would be all the way.
Yeah, so January 1st, and then the beach club are building the gingerbread carousel, and it is November 1st, so it started this week, until January 2nd. So
I can't believe they wouldn't leave that. I don't know. I'm just like a traditionalist. Like, you don't take it down I guess some people take it down on New Year's Day, but like, leave it a couple extra days. What day is the first? Is it like a Sunday?
It's weird this year. Yeah, the first is a Sunday, I think. Or Saturday, I think.
Let me look. Hold on. The first is a Saturday. And then the only other gingerbread display that they're having this year is going to be at Epcot in the American Adventure Rotunda. And it is a recreation of the Lincoln Memorial, Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, and the American Adventure building in miniature. And that will be up from November 26th through December 30th.
And those things are made out of gingerbread?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. I didn't hear about that. That's pretty. That's a pretty neat idea.
Yeah, they do actually. They do a display at the American Adventure every year, and usually it's the they do. I know I've seen the Lincoln Memorial. I know I've seen. Oh gosh, what's the big tall monument.
The Washington Monument.
Washington Monument. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what's the big one?
It's tricky.
Yeah, it's totally tricky.
It's like the arch. What's the arch called? Oh, it's
I know, the arch, yeah. So I've seen that there too in the past. So they do a really, really great display. I think last year they actually had it, and actually I'm certain they had the display in the pavilion where they had all the Festival of the Holidays stuff, because they had the giant pavilion open in between Canada and the UK. So that's where it was last year, World Showplace. So, but this year, obviously, they're going to put it back in the American Adventure. So that's kind of cool.
I'll have to check that out. All right. So we have a question here. William's asking, it's kind of an opinion. Will the Christmas party be worth the $200 price tag, do we think? Scott, you're going. So. You're going opening night. I hope so. You're going opening night. It's sold out too, by the way, your party.
Yeah, my party was the first one to sell out. Yeah. Like that just made me super pumped.
I saw that. What has you excited about it? I mean, let's go that angle. Like, what has you excited about the party?
I'm excited because I think being a Christmas party before Christmas arrives just puts you in the spirit. And I did that a couple years ago, and it was one of the best Christmas seasons I ever had because, like, Walt Disney World just put me in that frame of mind. Granted, like, I'm going to a pretty early one this year, like, you know, November 9th or 10th or whatever it is. But it's just the atmosphere. That vibe of the party just gets me so pumped. It's going to feel like a regular Christmas party, I think. There's going to be a parade and all that. So, like, I don't know. Like, there's something about the hard ticket events. You know, I love the after-hour events and all that. So, like, I think it's worth it. But I've splurged a lot at Walt Disney World for extras, and I'm super pumped. I just love just how it just gets you in the mood for Christmas, and that's what I'm really excited about.
What do you think, Ricky? I mean, what has, because you're doing
the we're gonna dress up too, Mike, just FYI.
Of course you are.
Nice. You got to. That's right.
For me, I don't know if it is. I will agree that I think the Christmas party is going to be a better experience than the Boo Bash was.
Right, I think so too.
Hands down, because you are getting a full parade, you are getting a fireworks show specifically for the event, and you are getting a stage show. In that regard, it is very much more closely connected to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. I mean, really, they could have just had Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party instead of the after hours, but you know, they're kind of marrying the two together, because they're, it's going to have the after hours aspects of the free popcorn, the free soda, the free treats, as far as like the ice cream novelties. So like, they're really marrying the two together. That price range though is so expensive to me. You know, it's $200 and that's the starting rate. And then it goes up to $250. And to me, like, that's my threshold, and I was like, I'm out. I'm not doing the Christmas party this year. Now I will be doing the Christmas party at Disneyland. I'm doing that next week. That one was actually cheaper than Walt Disney World. Actually, it was cheaper. I got the most expensive party, and it was still cheaper than what Walt Disney World was offering. So you know, I get a full parade. I don't think I get fireworks. Maybe I need to double check that. I know I get like special parties and things like that. I get to do the attractions with their overlays. So, you know, for that, like that was worth it to me. And I'm pretty sure I get like holiday treats and stuff like that too. So that one was worth it to me. It was still expensive, and it was more than like if it had been at Walt Disney World, it might've been more than I was willing to pay too. But because I don't go to Disneyland very often, yeah, I was like, I'm in. And I think that will be the case for a lot of people who go to Walt Disney World. If you don't go all the time, you may go, hey, it's worth it to me. If you do go all the time like I do, it's not as worth it. So that's kind of where I'm looking at it from. For me, since I go a lot, it's not worth it. I can get my holidays other places. I think Hollywood Studios has the better holiday display anyway. So that's where I'm going. But, you know, for Disneyland, for me, it was a no-brainer. Since I don't go very often and it gets me extra time in the park, I said, okay. So I spent the money. And like I said, it was cheaper for me to go to Disneyland. Who knew? So
I think too, you know, like Scott said too, is like, you know, this is early in the season. It gets you really excited for the coming season of Christmas. And because obviously we record these shows on Mondays for the week, we do that. And, I was kind of surprised with how quickly, because, you know, yesterday as we're recording was Halloween. We had Halloween, and we always make this transition rather quickly and abruptly with Walt Disney World. You know, it's like, it's that meme that's out there with Cinderella, like, bam,
yes.
All of a sudden it's, you know, Halloween is pumpkins and boom, we're singing Christmas carols.
Bam.
And it is the truth, but I felt like today, like, it was more abrupt than it's been in years. Like, I mean, the Christmas tree was on Main
Street.
The
Christmas tree is up already, and I feel like that has taken many days.
It seemed like there were people everywhere. I mean, all, like, within hours, there was a Christmas tree on Main Street. There were wreaths on Main Street. There was a gingerbread house was being built. Over at the beach club, they're making the carousel. I mean, Scott, I know this stuff kind of goes up this week, but did it not seem to you like they're doing this, like, all within, like, a couple hours? Like, it was, like,
I was blown away. I was blown away by it.
It was, like, everywhere, like, all at once.
I was expecting slowly get there for by Friday, because I think traditionally with the Wine and Dine Race Weekend, they like to have a lot of the Christmas stuff up because all the reasons we spoke earlier on the episode. But I was blown away that, like, I got some text messages this morning, like, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? I'm like, you're kidding, right? Like, Halloween has been done for, like, 10 hours already.
Exactly. Well, I saw, Jingle Cruise, I think, is running.
Yes, it is today.
Yeah. I mean, I was pumped for that. I was like, oh, yeah. I mean,
and it's got new bits because they've obviously updated the Jungle Cruise, too. So there's new little pieces to the story. So that's kind of nice, too.
Probably because they know how busy they're going to be this weekend.
So. Probably. So they're like, we got to get this done. Yeah.
But see, I thought it might go the other way this year, though. I thought they might drag their feet because, like, they would almost have an out, right? Like, things are so screwed up, you know, supply chain, blah, blah. I mean, like, everybody's blaming it. Like, it's always supply chain and labor. Like, right? And I could see them, like, putting up the decorations a little bit slowly. I mean, like, I couldn't believe it. Like, in one day. Like, I mean, it was like everything was happening. Like,
and they kept advertising, like, the holidays come December 12th. Like, I kept seeing that advertisement everywhere I went. I'm like, I'm going to a Christmas party on the 9th. Like, am I getting, like, messed over here? Like, is it really starting the 12th or what? But, no, it actually starts November 1st, apparently.
So do you think the Christmas music will be playing? Like, when we go down
the stand? I think the Christmas loop is playing.
Yeah.
We should ask
that's
someone.
That's what I'm talking about. I love
it. We should ask Pam.
Yes, we got to call her. Because I do love some Christmas loops. Oh, man, I'm so excited. But the one thing I'm hearing, now again, I watch social media, is that there's not a whole lot of Christmas merchandise that's like 2021 Christmas merchandise. Like, the only thing people are seeing in the stores are like, now there was like a set of ornaments that are the park icons. Apparently they're real expensive, like Spaceship Earth and Tree of Life. Those were sweet. But I have like a set of those. I have actually a few sets of those from years past. And so I really don't need another one. But yeah, I want them, but I really don't need them. I want that train. I got the monorail, but I've always wanted that train for like the last 10 years, like the big, you know, goofy train. But I'm just like, do I need it? But they're saying you can get, you know, the ornaments at, you know, Christmas shop and, you know, Disney Springs and stuff like that. And, you know, they have ornaments here and there and everywhere, but you're not seeing a lot of the like 2021 Christmas merchandise this year. So if you
know
see
what
it, you
it is,
grab it.
It's going to be just like my contemporary.
Yeah, exactly.
Over the 50th.
You know, yeah,
it's just going to show up and then they're going to open the boxes the second it comes and it's going to be off the shelf. So I'm sure it's been ordered, right, Mike? It's just going to be delayed getting stocked in stores.
Right. I know. Seriously. Yes. Okay. One last question here, and we will close it out from Zach. Hey, Mike, Pam, Ricky, and Scott. It was great to meet y'all at the 50th anniversary weekend. My wife and I are traveling to Disneyland in April. It's a good thing I got you two on. I was wondering, what is one restaurant we need to make sure we visit? Always love the podcast and look forward to meeting y'all again over Wine and Dine and Marathon weekends. Thanks, Zach. See you this week. All right, Ricky, you give one restaurant, and then I'll let Scott give one restaurant. So what is one not-to-be-missed Disneyland restaurant?
You know, I am the worst with this because I'm not as familiar with Disneyland. So, like, I don't
Blue Bayou or something like that.
I know. Blue Bayou is obviously the one that everybody thinks of.
Napa
but, like,
Rose.
Also Napa Rose. I feel like that's just Scott's list of.
Those are both good ones. I'll give an answer while Ricky's thinking about it. To kind of go outside the box, I guess, a little bit there, because you always hear about Blue Bayou. It is a great restaurant, you know, like the theming is like San Angel Inn, except it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's
Exactly,
it is so great. Napa Rose, like all the signature restaurants are really good. But one I think gets forgotten about a lot is Carnation Cafe.
Oh, good choice.
It's right on Main Street, USA. There's outdoor seating. I've had, it's funny because this is like kind of coming back in Walt Disney World right now, but like that's where I had Walt's chili for the first time. I've had one of the greatest like spicy chicken sandwiches I've ever had. But it's, the atmosphere is cool because you're hearing those in April. It won't be Christmas time, so you'll be hearing the Main Street background loop. You see people walking by. If you get an outdoor seat, I'd highly recommend an outdoor table there. It's just cool. Like you're sitting outside having a table service on Main Street USA in Walt's Park. Just great atmosphere and great place to be.
Oh, sounds so good. That's my jam, man. Spicy chicken sandwiches and some chili. Now you're talking my language.
I know. In Southern California, you can't beat that.
No, right?
I don't need that fancy stuff. Now you are speaking my language. Yep. That is it.
I've been trying to convince you to get to Disneyland for like 3, 4, 5 years.
I know. We are going to do it.
I'm going to work you with the food because there's a great Mexican restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Is it Rancho Del Zorro?
Yes. It's a counter service, so that's why I didn't get that as my answer.
That's the place where they invented Doritos, right? I mean,
yeah. The Doritos invented there.
Oh, my God.
And if you sit outside there, you're looking right at Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Oh, my God. I'm booking my Disneyland trip after this.
Ricky, get a selfie in front of that place on your trip this trip.
Which one? Rancho Del Zorro?
Yeah, yes. Make sure you get a picture there.
I have a selfie of it.
Okay, I guess. All right, Ricky, do you have one? Because we got to close this out. You got one real quick, or did Scott?
Well, I think the Carnation Cafe was the one I was thinking of. I was looking at Plaza Inn, which
Plaza Inn's a great one too. Yep.
Yeah, but I think they're only serving breakfast there right now. Because I just tried to look it up, and I was like, oh, I think they're only having breakfast. Obviously, Carthay Circle is another big one. That a lot of people talk about. You also have the Lamplight Lounge. Is it the lounge?
Yeah, that's a really hard to get.
It's placed. A really hard one to get. Yeah, exactly. Matter of fact, I haven't even. I mean, like I said, I haven't tried anything. I really should probably try for my trip next week.
Another great. If you're looking for a really nice meal that you want to take the family out, like I know we talked about Carthay and Napa Rose, but Steakhouse 55 at the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, but that's not open.
Isn't that open
either?
Maybe in April it will be.
I thought I heard it wasn't opening. Actually, yeah, I think it's gone.
I go 16 better at the Contemporary. I'm just saying.
I don't think they're doing it. Yeah. But you know, you always have, if you want like quick service, you always have like everybody loses their minds over Bengal Barbecue. I know that's a more of a snack place because they have a few like unique items there. People also lose their minds over the corn dogs, so that's something you might want to look into. And there was another one that I was trying to think of. There's one that also serves. It's not the Blue Bayou. It's a quick service.
New Orleans Square. The French Quarter restaurant that has like the bread bowls that are phenomenal.
Oh man, that's the one I was thinking of.
So I thought this question might have been more towards table service, but I'll say as someone that loves table service meals at Walt Disney World, I actually prefer the counter service.
That's why I haven't really booked anything for like dining at Disneyland because I know they have such fantastic counter service options. That I was like, do I really care if I have a table service meal at Disneyland? Probably not.
So I love how we just list off like 15 items.
I know, we totally did.
So Carnation
Cafe. You can't go wrong, basically.
Next week, I'm just saying. So
there you go. All right.
We'll see.
He's set. I mean, get there and just kind of decide what you're looking for. So there you go. All right. Well, hey, that's going to do it for today's Listener Question Show. Thank you for all the great questions. You have a question you want to get right there in the inbox, just send that right now to Mike@brguestpodcast.com. You don't have to hit the live chat if you're not with us on Monday afternoons. Just Mike@brguestpodcast.com. Put Listener Question in the header, and we'll answer that here on the next podcast. It'll actually be next Tuesday instead of Monday. We're going to record one day late next week because of the races. Also, don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for your Disney trip planning needs. You can see all the great services they offer over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, please fill out that free, no obligation quote form. Once you do that, an agent will get back to you right away, and we'll be planning that trip together, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Universal, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney. We take care of it all. We can get you a great trip. Lowest cost possible. Make sure it's an awesome vacation for you. So again, check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's almost the holiday season. We've been talking about the Christmas decorations going up. As you do that shopping this holiday season, please use our link. Just click through. It's one extra click. Takes you right back to the main Amazon site, and it really does help us out. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so much. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put the show out 3 to 4 times a week, each and every week, all around the world. Because of your support, we get to have this fun and talk about Disney all over the world. Our patrons also get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. So if you'd like to get in on the action over there, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Also, give us a follow on the social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. You can follow Ricky's adventures at Ricky Nibs on Instagram and Twitter. Scott's at Epscott, E-P-S-C-O-T. Give him a follow as well. And of course, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. All right, we're going to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday talking about Run Disney weekends for the non-runners. What happens if you're headed down? This weekend coming up, you're like, oh man, I'm going to be down there, but I'm not a runner. Uh-oh, what's going on? And if you're a runner, it's going to get you pumped up for the race weekend because we're going to talk about expos and stuff too. And also, what about if you're going in the spring for the Princess weekend or the Surprise weekend? We don't know what's going on with that marathon weekend in January. We're going to give you some tips to make sure you know what's going on. If you just happen to be vacationing at Walt Disney World during a race weekend, I'll tell you what. There's some opportunities to get some pretty cool stuff happening. It's like a little bonus. It could impact your vacation, but if you have these tips we're going to give out, no sweat. You'll be just fine. So join us again on Friday for that. So for Ricky and Pam, and Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work and safe travels to everybody headed down to Wine and Dine. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.